Hey everyone, welcome to episode 8 of Torkum Talk. Just had a really good conversation with Jason Thomas. He is the owner of Peely Hunters. Basically, this is an incredible podcast for those of you out there that are looking to start a business and just not quite sure where to start. This guy did it. I mean, you'll find out. He really, really got this thing going and successful today by really just doing shit and not overanalyzing anything. Enjoy it. What I've been learning is the more and more is it's not like you were mentioning like before we start recording. Well, you know, I don't really know about karma and stuff like that. I don't really know about karma too. I don't look at doing good amongst other people and being ethically correct as a thing of karma is, oh, it'll come back to me so that I'll gain from it. I just feel like there's an underlying human constitution that you know that you're doing something right to somebody or something wrong. It transcends political boundaries.
Yeah.
And so to just all of a sudden be like, if you ever are thinking on a decision you make in business or in a relationship or anything, and you have to somewhat justify it to yourself, well, I guess it's okay because then we'll do it. Then that's wrong.
Yeah.
Like you're just wrong. And you know, you have to live with that. So whether it comes back to you or not, you lived with your bad decision. And if that makes you a bunch of money, then you could go to your deathbed with all those bad decisions you made to be rich with nobody at your deathbed, which, by the way, is a story of so many rich people. They're like, time and time again, rich people on their deathbeds making all these regrets, just being like, nobody's here. Nobody cares about me because all they did was work
people.
And screw people over. So I didn't have any friends or family, because you start screwing over friends for money.
Then you got nobody left.
Yeah, and then what's stopping you from doing the family and screwing them over?
Well, you talk about the justification. I think that some people just basically short-term justify their behavior. It's just business. I hate that term. Just business.
Yeah.
No, it's like, I was just drunk. The guy was just drunk, so he punched his wife. Because I was drunk.
That's a great analogy.
And that's what it's like. It's just business. Yeah, but you screwed over some poor people or whatever. You tricked somebody out of their money. But I think it's, we were talking about the karma thing. I believe in just the reaction. If you bounce a ball off the wall, it comes back at you in some way or another.
Exactly.
That's basically it. And I don't know if that's karma. I don't know what it is, but.
What I've been realizing, I basically, for myself personally, when it came down to this, I used to be one of those people. I used to be a motherfucker. I used to be where I didn't believe in karma. And I would literally say to my friends in college and stuff, as I built bike businesses up and I was been like an serial entrepreneur in my life. And I would have this asshole, arrogant demeanor. And I would literally say to my buddies that, like, nice guys finish last. That's the saying. And
there's,
And they're just like, okay, and they would call it to bud something. And I was actually proud of that, to bud something, which means like to negotiate your way and get the way that you wanted. And I was actually proud of it. And I look back at that, and this transformation for me in my own head has started as of January of last year, where I don't look at life at all like that. And I look back when people used to say that, bud, you were... Or Bud's super arrogant. When I hear that through the business grapevine of the Bend community, I would just be like, fuck them. They have no idea what they're talking about. And now I look back at that, I'm like, oh my God, I was.
Yeah.
I was so arrogant. And to just know that you're doing good amongst your clients and your team and taking care of them, looking for their best thing and not viewing them as a number on a tick sheet, I sleep so easily. I don't go to bed at night being like, we're fucked for this. I was just like, everybody's taken care of and we're doing things. We're doing good things. We're always going for good results. We tell our clients how it is, where before wasn't really like that.
Yeah. It takes, maybe it takes some learning, and it takes a couple of sleepless nights to make those. And you're pretty young too, right? So
yeah, maybe
it's good you realize it now.
My mom thinks I turned 31, but I just turned 32.
Yeah,
it was a funny birthday. Like all my shit said, "You're 31, yay!" I'm like, "Mom, I'm 30."
Thanks, Mom.
But I was curious also getting off. I mean, I'm sure we'll come back to like positive stuff in the philosophy and like how that you can just kind of live with that and it goes with you of like doing good and then that coming around. But Another thing that you're big into, Jason, is you're a mountaineer guy.
Yeah, I used to do it. I did it for 11 years, and talk about being a little shit. I was a little as a guide. I was a little
cocky.
Yeah, absolutely, a little bit, sometimes not super aware of the client's feelings.
How so?
Just like, here's your shovel, fucking start shoveling. This is what you're gonna do. This is how I want it done, and no questions asked. And
that's, in what case would they be shoveling? Oh, for digging out a snow camp?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's some guides. You know, you go to the Himalaya and the Sherpas do it all for you and all this other stuff. But like on some of the bigger climbs, you know, you're working your ass off for the whole time. Mm-hmm. And there are guides that do the work for the people. Like we cook for them. We do a lot of stuff, right? But I think it's better if you teach them how to do it. So it's like at the end of the expedition, not only maybe they summited this mountain, but they felt like they were truly a contributing member of the team. Mm-hmm. Rather than like, well, the guide did it all for me, or the Sherpas all did it all for me.
They have a better story that way. I want to call it real. It's real.
You know, and that's why like climbing Denali versus climbing in the Himalaya is you know, maybe it's not as high and as prestigious as Everest, but you definitely, there's no one, you got to carry, you know, 100 pounds of
have
shit.
Have you done Denali?
Yeah, I used to guide up there too. But yeah.
So you've done it a few times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I actually took my dad up there too when he was 60.
What is the average time of?
Average time's 21 days.
That's insane.
But I never, every time I was up there, 25 days. Because you get stuck in storms. I would always play, I was always pretty conservative.
Waiting. As you should be, it's just Denali.
Yeah, waiting, being really, trying to look for a really nice window to summit, because it is dangerous up there. That last little bit, you're pretty far out there. You don't want that high camp to the summit, you're pretty far out there.
So Denali, for those who don't know, the height is
20,320 feet.
20,320. But so that's one thing. That's fucking big.
It's big. But it's different. There's more to it.
I know. Yeah. So how wide is it?
Well, Jesus, I don't know how wide it is. It's huge, but
that's where the 25 days comes from.
No, it's the, well, all right, so it's 20,320 feet, but it's also really far north, right? So the equivalent latitude, Everest is the equivalent latitude of Miami, Florida.
Okay.
So when you're trekking into Everest at 10,000 feet, there's people living, there's, you know, grass growing, right? 10,000 feet in Alaska is full glaciation. You know, 3,000 feet in Alaska is full glaciation.
Oh,
no living,
yeah.
Nothing's alive.
Yep.
And then because of the Northern Hemisphere, they say, and I don't know if there's some statistical stuff to prove it, but Denali feels more like 23,000 in the Himalaya. So you can add another 1,000 meters onto it. So it feels like oxygen-wise a lot higher, but it's just way colder, right? Imagine if Everest was at the latitude of Denali. It'd be unclimbable.
Well, a good analogy for that that I learned in when I was a major in geology is there. I forget who the geologist was who did this study, but he basically found that if you were to travel from a mountain like Everest, for example, is a great example of this, or Mount Whitney would be a good one.
Yeah,
You basically start in tropics for, let's say,
a couple thousand.
You actually, if you go all the way to bottom of like the Himalayas, you're in a trout. You're with elephants.
100%.
Yeah. So you're basically starting at the equator.
Yeah.
And as you go up the equator, in the world, right? So if you're on a globe, unless you're a flat earther.
Yeah. But
if
you're on, what do you mean? What do you mean round?
So as you go up the globe from the equator, the further north you get, the more glaciation you get. And that same thing was found as climbing up a mountain. So you're going from the equator, which is tropics, and you're going into desert and then tundra, and then all of a sudden ice.
Absolutely.
And that was basically the same thing that you'd get from climbing a mountain. But the mountain that Denali is already in the fucking ice.
It's already in the north.
And then we're going up.
Then you're going up. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I never thought of it like that. That's insane.
Yeah. So you're starting. I remember we once
had. And it's got to be miles wide. I mean, how many miles?
It's fucking huge. But that's not the reason it takes long. You got to acclimatize. You got to go slow. And you got to carry, each client carries essentially 100 pounds of gear for the trip, right? So
you got to feed yourself for 23 days.
Exactly. Yeah. And every client's got, and this ties into Peely Nuts, by the way, and Expedition Butter that we just launched. Every client's carrying literally a gallon of fuel to burn in our, you know, we got to melt snow. Mm-hmm. There's no running water, right? So everything gets melted. You got to melt it all day long. And that's a big part of the job. But it's pretty, I remember we had my first trip on Denali. I got just spanked. I was sick as a dog. I was like the
altitude sickness?
A little bit, but I had just an insane lung infection, just suffering, man. We were in a snow cave. It was just a mess. Anyway, but I remember we had a guy.
It's hard to do healthy.
Oh, dude. I killed myself. I'll tell you more about that. You can remind me.
Okay.
Because I didn't have time to be sick, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be, you know, later on in my career, I'm leading the trips, and I'm supposed to be the leader. And fuck, if you're the leader and everything's falling apart,
that's not good.
Who takes the show?
Right? And then also your the morale of the whole group goes down. Yeah.
So I could tell you more about that. But anyway, we had a guy from South Africa. I'll never forget. He showed up on the you fly into the glacier, and you fly to 7,000 feet, and you're full glaciated terrain. Mm-hmm. You got 500 feet of ice underneath your feet. And are we going to be on snow the whole trip?
Really?
Yes, we are. And you're going to be sleeping, digging out and in storms. I think I want to head back. So we got on the next plane, never stepped a foot out of base camp, and off we went.
Wow.
Yeah. But the Peely Nuts, I wish I had them, and the Expedition Butter during this time. And this is a big thing we're really trying to promote, is that you get 1 ounce little packet of nut butter.
Right.
200 calories.
Right. So what's peanut butter?
You know, that's a damn good question.
I think it's like 180.
Maybe I'm pretty sure.
I was looking at it the other day, and it was like 1 ounce was a serving.
You're not getting all the saturated, the fats, the magnesium, the minerals, and all the shit that you get from Peely Nuts.
No. And
they're an allergen and they're not a nut, and there's a lot of other stuff.
They're not a nut.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not a nut.
I didn't know they're not a nut.
Peanuts?
Yeah. No, I know peanuts are a nut.
No.
You're saying Peely Nuts are not a nut.
No, Peely Nuts are a nut, but peanuts are not a nut.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's a legume.
That's why people are allergic to them and everything.
Exactly. And they, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that people are allergic to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's one, and don't shoot me for this, and this is just a broad stroke here, but there's a lot of people allergic to goji berries. I did some investigation into it because we were going to do a product with it.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the goji berry shipments that come into the U.S. don't make it through FDA testing.
Really?
And FDA, you want to think of it as extremely stringent, and so it is kind of.
But it's not.
Yeah. So basically, a lot of that stuff's coming through, and it's got goji berries from China.
Mm-hmm.
It's got crazy amounts of pesticides that are unregulated and a mess over there. And so you're eating them here. And yeah.
So when it came to, you found the Peely Nuts, and you were kiteboarding.
Mm.
So tell about that story.
Yeah, I did the guiding for
fascinating, like, origin story.
Yeah, it's crazy. I did the guiding for a long time. Loved it. Was getting a bit burned out on it. But got a bad case of, told this story on a bunch of different podcasts, but I got a really bad case of rhabdomyosis.
Okay.
Essentially muscle tissue breakdown, backs up in your kidneys. You can have kidney failure and die. It's
bummer.
Yeah. Not wasn't. Yeah. I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
For most people. But I went through that. I ended up spending a year pretty much doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Literally running up mountains to doing nothing.
What year was that?
I don't even know the year, but it was 8 years ago.
Okay. So 2011.
Yeah, thereabouts. 2010. Okay. Yeah, somewhere around there. And
you're going from being active all the time.
Super duper, 100% active.
So now you're sick.
37 years old. Kind of aging myself here. 37 years old.
You look great for being 48.
Yeah, 45.
45.
Yeah, so 30, whatever.
Well, no, never mind.
Come on, you got to do the math. Anymore. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
But running up mountains to laying in bed at my dad's house. My dad's lived in the Arctic for a lot of years. Now he's retired in Florida. And 37 years old, literally running up mountains, not answering to anybody, doing what I want to do in life, to sleeping in my dad's spare room and like sleeping, laying around 16 hours a day, walking a couple hundred meters and having to rest. Yeah, it was fucking crazy, man.
So what happens?
Horrible. Well, I got this horrible case of rhabdo, checked myself into a hospital up. I was climbing Mount Rainier at the time. And
which is peanuts compared to Denali.
Yeah, but that's still, man, that thing's...
I know.
I got to give Rainier props because, it just keeps going. Summon it. Yeah. Yeah, it keeps going, man. Mm-hmm. It just keeps going and going. And it's a lot of work. You're up all night. And yeah, it's a lot of work. But mm-hmm. So 37 years old, sitting at the beach in Florida, saw kite surfing. I'd seen it once before in Squamish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, God. But this was like up close. I saw it. I saw it from a distance. I was climbing in Squamish. You could look down on the inlet there in Squamish. Sure. It's a famous kite surfing spot as well, and climbing. And saw them down there. And actually saw a board up with kite surfing lessons and called them. And they're like, oh, we're just leaving for Mexico. It was like this. They go down for the season to Mexico.
Sure.
Didn't do anything. Never thought of it again. Saw it up close and personal in Florida. And was like, fuck, I want to learn how to do this. Looks like a blast. And right. It is a blast, man. And I recommend it to anybody. It is just so much fun, and it's not that hard.
Yeah, you do it in Hood River, too.
Hood River and right. The Oregon coast. And that's how I ended up in Oregon, man.
Really?
Yeah, the Oregon coast is epic.
Yeah, it's
epic,
windy as hell.
Windy, yeah. Waves. It's just really epic. No crowds.
Yeah.
It is really good. It's world class. And so took a kite surfing lesson, and then I started teaching myself to kite surf, and I was still pretty ill at the time, so I would kite surf for a couple hours, get drug up and down the beach and shit, and then go rest for 3 or 4 days because I felt I was sick all the time, no energy. Man, there's a million different things. Long story short, started feeling better, started doing more kite surfing, and then like, fuck, I can't go back to guiding, but I'm not a regular kind of job guy, so I ended up taking an IKO kiteboarding instructor course.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Dominican, learned how to teach people kiteboarding, which took me to Aruba, Brazil. I taught in Brazil, I taught in Aruba, I taught in Florida, California. That's what brought me to the Philippines.
Right.
Was in Thailand with my ex-girlfriend, and she was half Filipina. And I was taking her around Asia. I've done a lot of traveling. It's kind of been my thing. I did a lot of traveling over the years. And so I took her to Asia. We were in Asia for like 6 months. And we met this girl in Thailand. I was kiteboarding in Thailand. She's like, yeah, there's this place in the Philippines that's epic. Nobody goes there. Has crazy wind and big waves, but nobody goes there. There's no infrastructure. And I was like, holy shit, this place, this shirt right here, it's called Kingfisher mm-hmm. in the north of the Philippines. I said, we're going to the Philippines. And okay, so that's where we went. That's where I tried a peeling nut. And that's how this all started.
How did you try the first peeling nut?
I wish I could say I was kiteboarding down the beach. There was this tree overhanging, and I ripped it off
and ate it. But it's a bender.
It's not that cool. But yeah. So we actually found it, a little bag of them selling at a store. Mm-hmm. They're not in the region I was at. What's happened in the Philippines is what's happened everywhere. They're pretty Americanized, and we've exported all our shit food to them.
Sure.
We taught them how to eat.
So they're getting fat. If they're not, they will be.
Hey, no offense to any Filipinos here. Don't take this the wrong way, but in Manila, like, people are like getting pretty soft, and the out in the countryside, no, man, these guys are like wild, little Pacquiao's.
Right, right.
They're like climbing up trees.
Mm-hmm.
Strong little guys, man. Really strong. And, but in the city, the pollution and the shitty food, you can definitely see it's changing there.
So then you got, you're like, okay, found these peeling nuts. These are awesome.
Went to the
region. I'm going to turn this into a sweet business. So how did that?
No shit. Literally, I was like,
because wait, but
I remember asking.
Did you own a business before this?
Nothing.
Okay, so this
zero,
is this is
zilch.
So there's a lot of people being like, yeah, you know, but how do I start and everything like that? Did you have a ton of money?
$100 started this business.
$100 started this
business. I didn't even have an LLC.
Didn't you even know what an LLC was?
Of course, I knew that.
Oh, okay. At least I've talked to some entrepreneurs that don't even know that.
Right, right. So I called the guy. you know, LLC.com or some right, shit. You know, right. I can't remember the name, but the guy was actually really cool. He set up the LLC. This was after the fact, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck, how did we get these? I brought 10 pounds of them back. So I went to the region, brought 10 pounds of them back in my backpack, snuck them through customs. Do you have any food? Or no.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all done
that. We've all done that. Yeah. Hopefully with only food.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's... Literally, I've told this story a bunch of times. I bought, you guys know what Uline is. It's a big supplier. They mm-hmm. sell online stuff. So it was I bought 100 plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
Bought a sealer off of Craigslist, like a little hand sealer.
Right.
Some guy bought for camping trips. He was sealing his food and sold to me for $15 or something. And then I got the bags for, you know, $50 and did a search. I didn't know anything about graphic arts.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of this shit.
Okay. Yeah. What I'm really curious about is who'd you sell it to first?
Yeah, all right. So this is an interesting story.
And
so
how did you sell? Who
made
and how?
This? Made these bags.
Right.
Did a search online, like graphic artist. How do I make a sticker? Found a guy. So then, as I did that search, graphic artist.
Where was he located?
Here's
had to be India.
No.
Really?
Graphic art. Where's the most?
You could have done it cheaper.
I could have done it for like $5, right? But I paid like $50.
Oh, there goes half of your income. There goes half of your business. We had $100 down to $50.
No, but shit.
Hey, this thing still grew. So all right. So
I look at it. Where's the highest concentration of graphic artists in the United States? This Google search comes
where
up.
Where was it?
The Bay Area.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So I put an ad up on Craigslist, San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And I get this guy, Jeff, great guy. Still know him to this day. Cool artist, musician, just a cool guy.
Yeah.
And he just, some people, there's a lot of people in this industry that want to fuck you. And then there's people that you can generally like want
to
help.
Yeah, like weird, they, like doing good to people.
Generally wanted, I felt like he wanted to help me.
Weird, he got your business then.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
And I tried to hire him again. Fucking he's living on the East Coast. I tried to hire him again. Like, dude, let me use you for something. Uh-huh. Like, just he's too far. It just uh-huh. didn't work out. But really cool guy. He made this sticker for me. And he worked with some cool companies. He worked with Harmless Harvest, that coconut water.
Okay.
They're really nice. It's mm-hmm. cool packaging. Anyway, he worked with a bunch of folks in Bay Area, and he works for Google now. Nice. He does pretty good for himself.
So he makes you the sticker.
Makes me a sticker.
And your packaging, you bought these bags. So you put the sticker. You have 10 pounds, and now you're individually putting them in the bags. Just you. You got the camper thing on Craigslist.
Totally.
You're putting it on. What about the whole, like, hey, get your kitchen approved?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, fuck that, right? No, just get it going. Like, see if you have a model.
Is there like a statute of limitations by the FDA? Because I'd be in trouble.
I mean, we could edit this out.
But I'm just kidding, man. Nobody cares.
Yeah, I don't think at this
point. I hope
point,
they don't care.
No, yeah. they don't have time for that. Shit. No, they're not. Especially if you're doing it good now. Okay, so you're just like you're getting the stuff. You're packaging it. You're like, let me see if this works. Instead
yeah.
of rearranging your life to like what the government's gonna do and everything, like do you have money?
Because
people get scared from that shit.
No LLC.
Like just get the
no
side
nothing.
Hustle
just
going.
Fucking go. Just
yeah, just
go.
Fucking go. See
and
what happens.
That's the one thing.
So
I
who'd you sell it to?
This is dope.
People need to hear this.
You guys, everybody, this hashtag or Google Erewhon Natural Foods. It's the hottest, coolest natural food store in the U.S. It's in L.A. There's one in Santa Monica, one in Beverly. I've met so many celebrities. Got a picture with Kelly Slater the other day.
Nice.
Owen Wilson bought a bottle of hot sauce off me. Steven Tyler. And these guys, Hank, will sit there and shoot the shit with me for 10 minutes. And I'm
nice.
Like, holy shit.
Erewhon Natural Foods?
Yeah. That's my second store. My first store was a water store in LA. I was visiting my sister. My sister lives in the Valley.
A water store.
Walked into this like... Water store.
What the hell's a water store?
It's like they sell
water.
They sell water. Yeah, what's a water store?
They sell beer. Store or they sell.
They
water.
Sell beer.
Yeah.
But I walk in there, and it was a Filipino gal, and she's like, "This is cool. You should sell this. Just go sell it to the stores,
mm-hmm.
and I'll buy some from you." And I'm like, "All right." So actually, technically, my first store was H2O Water. Alkaline water in the Valley.
Whatever. You right? know, we got water
bought,
and nuts.
But there's more. You got to come back to this story. Okay. So I sell her 12 of them, but she doesn't pay me. She's going to pay me later.
Right. So right? wait. Okay.
I
so
don't know
you put her, what's that called? When you
net 30.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know what that term fucking meant until I started this business. So like literally.
What do drug dealers call that? like layaway?
Fronting. You know fronting.
Fronting? Okay, yeah. So you fronted it.
I fronted them.
Well, yeah, look at Mitch like he's a drug dealer or something. Mitch is an, Mitch. Not that I know. I don't think Mitch is a drug dealer.
What's the going rate?
I like how I look at Mitch. I'm like, hey. Yeah. All right, so.
Yeah,
so
how did I know that word?
So yeah. You front her the.
I front her 12 pristine bags of Peely nuts. And so she's like, she actually encouraged me. You should go bring these to some big natural food stores here. And I did. I went to Erewhon. I walked in. Usually you have to make an appointment. It's this big deal. Everybody in the U.S. wants to get their product in that store.
Right.
Because it's the hottest. No shit.
Sure.
It's L.A., the celebs.
All of a sudden, Owen Wilson is taking a picture on Instagram with your shit.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that at the time. I just walked in there. And is there someone I could talk to about this? Yeah, you go up and talk to this lady. And now I know her pretty well. I've been in there so many, you know, I know her quite well. She's met my mom, my sister, everybody. But
nice.
Walked in there. Hey. You want to try them? But you want to try these? Tried them, and then she's like,
"You want to try?"
But
you that's great.
I want to sell these at the store.
Yeah.
Okay. How much are they? I honestly like $3. That's the list you can go. Yep, $3. And then, okay, and that was it. She bought 12 of them. And I don't even know
what 12.
How big? 12 bags.
12 $3 bags.
$36.
$36.
Yes, I'm in. I'm in business.
Hey, that's huge.
Yeah, but I started with 100, and I probably put another 200 into the bag and the stickering and all that shit.
Yeah, sure. It's your startup
plus cost. My labor costs, right?
Oh, of you.
So, but she took a chance with me, man. And then, no shit, I was going up I was kite surfing, sleeping in the back of my truck, mm-hmm. up and down the West Coast. So I left. Yeah, you know, my sister was tired of me crashing on her couch. I left. Went to Santa Cruz. Was in Santa Cruz, and like 2 weeks later, a week later, they called me. We want to buy 24 bags of your sprouted Peely nuts. And so I was like,
"This is Erewhon."
Yeah,
they want 24 more bags.
20 after a week or 2 weeks. I'm like, "Holy shit!"
Oh, and at so the time, they bought 12 at first. And now doubling we're order. Double. So hey, you're living at the back of your truck.
$64 that's, right there, man.
Well, then yeah. What happened?
So, sleeping in the back of my truck, but I gotta package these things up. Like, fuck, what am I gonna do this? I need electricity for the heat sealer.
Uh-huh.
Don't have a lot of money, kite surfing every day. Like, fuck. Got on Priceline, got like a crack hotel in Santa Cruz, bought some rubbing alcohol. Some
how much was the hotel?
It's like $50 or $60. Oh. I just drove by it last week, man. I was in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I remember that. That's the spot. Total shithole. Like total crack hotel. Great. Literally, if FDA is listening, I bought a bottle of 99-cent store out rubbing alcohol,
uh-huh.
wiped the fucking counter down, filled 24 bags, stuck them in an envelope, sent them to Erewhon. And that's no shit. Not long after, I went to Staff of Life, all these other stores. Almost got into the, I think it's called Greenleaf. They were all stoked on them. They didn't buy them at the time. They still haven't. So, but that's how it started. And I got to be 100% honest. I didn't have a smartphone. I'm not a big consumer, so I didn't know the power of Amazon. I didn't know web page. I didn't know the whole e-commerce.
Yeah, but it didn't matter.
I knew nothing.
It didn't matter.
If I do it all over again, I would have went e-commerce.
Okay,
first.
Yeah, whatever. But here's the thing is that not knowing anything, what you did was you didn't have analysis paralysis. And you just did. You're like, I'm going to make a decision. 100%. I'm going to do this. I'm walking in here and I'm doing this. And that's why you have a business that you're not sleeping out of the back of your truck.
Exactly.
And I'm guessing Erewhon has bought more.
Yeah. We sell a lot.
Yeah, what's been your latest order with them?
Oh, it's $1,000 every couple of weeks. I don't want to talk too much about it, but it's $1,000 every couple of weeks.
It's not $64.
No. And that's just that store.
Yeah, right.
And
just that store. So you're in multiple stores across the West Coast.
I did the whole store thing for a while, and then like, wait a minute, I can sell these direct to consumers for a lot more.
Your margin's a lot better.
And then I stopped. No shit, I stopped contacting stores, and mm-hmm. they pretty much all the stores we have, they contact me. Okay, cool. Now with some of our other products, we'll seek out stores. Our hot sauce, the Expedition butter, We figure out margins and shit like that. What's profitable distribution if you want to go through that route. So now we actively seek stores. But before, for 2 years now, I haven't personally like sought out a store.
Right. So, well, no, you keep on growing and learning from that. So that's all fascinating
stuff. But that's the story, man. That's the no bullshit story.
Yeah. I think people could take a lot from that when they're just like, you know, I don't need to have a business plan that's 30 pages long and get my LLC, and I need to get the food processing thing done, and I need to get a home kitchen's license, and I need to do all this stuff. It's like, actually, you just need a bit of drive and just go and fucking do it.
Go and do it, but I want to do like an young entrepreneurs podcast fucking, because I am.
Well, that's basically what this kind
of
is.
Yeah, I've learned a lot. That's what it's tailored to. I've fucked up a lot of things, man. And
yeah, so don't we all?
Yeah, Jesus.
That's how we get better.
Yeah, sort of. But
you're looking all depressed. Don't look all depressed. Yeah, you learn from that. You get better and
better
from that.
My wallet learned a lot, too. But the one thing, if you're going to put your money anywhere in that beginning, get a lawyer. Get a lawyer. Get the paperwork. Get the paperwork out to all these people you're doing business with. And cover your ass. That's my words of wisdom. If you're gonna do, fuck it, get your LLC later. Get your copyright. Work on your copyright for sure. Get this stuff done, but get a lawyer that can write you up some papers that you hand to people when you do business with them.
And that's, you know, I learned that the hard way too.
Yeah, and that's, if I could do it all over again, that's the one thing. And you know, goddamn, $400 an hour when you got $100 in your pocket. It just doesn't, it's hard to do. But if you can somehow, if you're going to get the money, if I'd spent.
Well, people can use, like what I did when we first started out and knew we needed a lawyer, we used Legal Shield and Legal Zoom and stuff like that. And it's like $50 a month. Now we have real lawyers and stuff and graduated out of that. But that's what we were using for like contract review and stuff like that. And
good for you for doing that, because I didn't do any of that.
Well, in the beginning, I also, with this company, I was going off of the merit of just what, you know, my word is good and so is yours. I learned that.
I've learned that it's like, I am going to fuck you. You're shaking your hand like, are you serious? You're trusting me right now? And I keep making this fucking mistake. If any young entrepreneur is listening to this, get a lawyer, get the paperwork right.
Yeah.
Even if it's just simple, and it kind of lays the law, it lays out the like, hey, you're at least thinking about this, and maybe this guy's playing for keeps. If I do try to screw him, there might be some repercussion.
Well, I would have to agree with your advice there. What I was curious on as well is like, where you started this company 10 years ago and where you guys are today.
4 years.
Oh, wait. So 10 years ago is when you had a peeling nut.
Yeah.
Okay. So
No. I had a peeling nut 5 years ago.
Okay. So 10 years ago, like, I was getting into kiteboarding.
That's when I got into kiteboarding.
Okay.
We're about 4.5 years into the business right now.
What do you think your business superpower is that you've developed over years?
Wow.
Your superpower in business.
I don't even know, man.
Well, there's a reason.
I hustle. That's
there
it.
There you go.
Yeah. Look at me. I'm exhausted, man. Honestly, I'm killing myself. But that's the only thing I have. I don't have the money. I don't have the business background. I don't have a lot of the resources nor connections. But you're out
hustling people, and now you do have connections. Like just the Air, well, the Air One, that you wouldn't have had that. Now you even said that you like, she knows your family and stuff.
Well, I mean, she's met my sister's done demos. My mom's been in there, so she's met my
It's a connection. It's for sure a connection. It is. And you can use that for other products that you decide to end up launching.
Absolutely, and we have.
And by the way, it's a connection that pays you $1,000 every couple of months. It's kind of nice.
Oh no, it's more than every couple of weeks.
I mean, a couple of weeks. Yeah. There you go. Sorry, but yeah,
but.
You have more connections than you give yourself credit for.
For sure.
Yeah. So you just developed that over time. It's from hustling, though. And then you have the people
it's all I had. Hustle.
Yeah. It's like, when are you hustling or are you watching Netflix? Like, what are you doing with that spare time?
I'm hustling.
Right.
But I want to watch some Netflix.
To people who are listening. Yeah, of course. We all do. But like, how much Netflix are you watching? Like, what could that time be going towards? Like, oh, I just don't really have time to get that side hustle going. Like, really? Or are you just not making the time?
They're not making the time.
Exactly.
It's there. Especially at your age. You got a little more pushing.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any kids or anything. Like, let's just go.
Go for it. Right? Now, and you got the energy.
Yeah, I do. I do still have energy.
Yeah.
I'm happy. You do too, because I do, you climb mountains. I mean, I know you've had not a busy anymore, day today.
But yeah, no, but yeah.
So are you, have you gotten into gifting books ever?
I haven't got into gift. Somebody sent me one actually not too long ago, but you know, it's cool. I like that.
The concept, yeah. Do you read much on business as you've been growing?
I wish I had time, man. No shit.
That's the thing is that I was going hard into reading business books, and that all of a sudden shifted for me. And now I'm in the philosophy and everything, because all the business books, they all kind of say the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And so philosophy has just been helping me a bit more on when it comes to like making sure I'm morally right and doing good to other people. And when people end up fucking me over, I just like, I don't look at it as like, I just try to understand their position and move on, and don't let it get to me and eat me away, because what's the point?
It's like pissing in your own pants.
Yeah, pretty much. Getting angry does what?
Nothing.
Yeah, but people do it all the time.
Yeah, but it does it for, it's just eats you.
Right.
You're not helping anything. But it's easier said than done. I mean, because, geez, we all carry, things happen, we all get angry. I'm guilty of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, we all are, but it's just like, can you limit it? And at what point you're like, well, the problem with anger is that it feels so good. It feels justified. And it feels like when you're doing it, it's going to solve stuff.
And it does.
It's this fire breath inside you. And you're like, I've got to let this rage out, and these people need to pay for that, and so I will get upset. But all you're left with when you breathe that fire is a burnt town and bridges.
That's exactly right. But with that said, do you remember, you probably don't, you might be a little before your time, do you remember Mark Twight?
Mm-mm.
He's a famous alpinist, and he wrote, God, what was the name, the title of his book? I remember reading it years ago. It was so cool. I think it was Fast and Light. You should check it out. But he was a famous alpinist, 15, 20 years ago. He owns Jim Jones in sort of a CrossFit type thing.
Okay.
But I remember reading that anger's not a, it's not a, it's not healthy, but it's not a bad motivator either. Mm-hmm. So if someone's...
motivates a lot of businesses to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, if someone screws you over and you're angry, and you can focus that anger to winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean winning by... We were talking about it earlier. People use that. It's just business. That's bullshit. You know, that I don't believe in that. But, working harder, making it happen. You can use that.
But
that
what drive. Happens when you get to that point where you're like, I'm going to do this to show this person, then you get there?
Yeah, what? What do you got?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying. Like, okay, so now do you need to get angry at somebody else to take it to the next level?
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
It's not healthy.
Well, I did that.
Yeah.
I did that with our sign when you come in, that big sign.
It looks nice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But basically, I had a guy who, when I was first year in business, and he screwed me over twice when it came to working for me.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, you know what? My motivation was like, I'm going to show him one day, because we were, at the time they screwed me, we were in a small like shoebox of an office.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna build this company up, and I'm gonna have a big fucking sign.
Watch this.
And you're gonna have to look at that sign.
Yeah.
So 3 years later, I get the sign, put it up, and I'm just like, I don't feel any happier. I don't even know if he cares. I don't even care if he cares.
Fuck him.
Right. Like, why was that? What was motivating me? And so now the things that motivate me more is just like, hey, how the main thing I'm looking for is, can I help prove that doing good amongst people can build a successful business?
It can.
And being nice, just basically nice and doing good. Like, can that build? I think so too, because I've been doing it for about a year now, or I try to, and we're still open and growing. So
there you go.
Just that whole Steve Jobs, you got to be a dick thing.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that he was a total dick, but I guess he was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he made being a dick cool. Everyone in Silicon Valley for a while was just like, I have to wear a turtleneck and be a dick.
Yeah.
And then we'll grow.
Yeah. No.
Grow for what? I don't know. If you had a billboard that the whole world would see.
Oh, man.
What would it say?
I'm not sure.
And I'd it can it say eat this, Peely Nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Peelynuts.com.
Yeah.
I don't even know. You know, this whole, I lead a pretty, I'm not out in the public spotlight. Now I am a little bit more with the company, but I've never been super out there. You know, God dang, I never took pictures and all the travels I did. I never wanted to. It's a different like, generation now. It's all like photos. Think of something
that people, well, not even about the photos. If people were to see a billboard and they don't even have to know it's from you, it's just something that they would think about. And I'd be like,
I don't know.
Maybe just stop being a dick.
So yeah, so you know, I could be shit. You ask some of my employees, they're like, that motherfucker probably. But who knows? I don't know what they're thinking. But yeah, I don't know. We got to come back to that. Let me think about it.
How many team members do you have?
Depends on the given day. Let's see. We have 4, 5, 6 right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we're small.
Well, you have 6, and in the e-commerce world, that's a bit because
And I'm really trying to piece things out, and that's where you guys have come in, and we're working with some other people and doing some other stuff, and
And we just turned. I mean, we've only been working for we're going on to week five, and we're turning into the green.
Let's get it up there.
It will. I mean, the first month is all about collecting the audience, but now you're turning positive ROI, and so.
Yeah.
But I don't want to talk about us. I want to talk about that company. What's the company culture been like? Because you're a pretty cool dude. You're pretty laid back. You get stressed, but what do you...
I'm tired. I've been going at it for quite a few days.
Some sleep,
I actually drove back up from LA last week and just been going nonstop, man.
Get some sleep.
Yeah, I need some
sleep. Take some Jason time.
Oof. But, you know, that's... I lack in the company. I'm kind of a... nose down, grind shit out kind of guy, and not everybody around me feels the same about things.
So, well, why should they, right?
Yeah, they don't. Exactly.
They don't make the same economics.
No,
you know,
it doesn't make sense. No, yeah. And if they give just a partial shit about my business, it's probably good. So
right, that's you know, I kind of realized that like 3 years ago. I was like, if I could get them to like 60% care,
shit, you'd be doing
damn good. Then I'm happy, right? Yeah. I think because to think that they'll care like I do, it doesn't make sense.
No, why would they?
You know, the same economics. Like, no. Why should they? It'd be weird if they did.
Yeah, I want to incentivize. I really want to create something. I don't have a lot of resources. We're still small, and I want
to. Neither do I. This is all fucking grass fed bootstrap. Bootstrap. They call it now.
Grass fed. Yeah. Grass root fed.
Grass
vegetarian.
Organic.
Yeah.
You know, non-investor. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. That's what this has always been. Like people started here at minimum wage, $9.25 an hour, because that's what we could afford, and now it's been getting better and better because they're providing better and better results, which is great. But I'll never, like, even when we start paying people like over 6 figures, I'm not gonna still be like, oh well, you're gonna care as much as I do.
No,
and I'm paying you to, because they never would.
I think I'm gonna honestly, for me to keep moving forward, I'm gonna have to incentivize them with, you know, something part of the business, small amount.
Have you talked to them?
Yeah, you know, people.
Have you talked to them about what they want?
Not so much. I don't think I've got a pretty young crew, and I'm not even sure they know what they want, and rightfully so. They shouldn't.
Have you seen how old they are?
Yeah, you got a nice young crew too, but you're young too, so it's perfect. But what I find is, man, some of the your generation is a little different. Everybody talks about it, but the skills, the computer skills, and just how savvy they are with modern technology. Mm-hmm. The younger generation, I'm so not that.
Well, I haven't heard you shit on a millennial yet, which is nice.
I could start doing that. Really, this is bend, man. I mean, I go. Let's be honest. Yeah, people are sort of kind of cruising through here. This is not necessarily the place you come to grind it out for 70 hours.
No, we're in an adventure town.
It's an outdoor, people want to go ski and I get it. I did that shit for a lot of years.
And we have a lot of people. There was a time a few years ago where I think it was like 70% of my workforce was from Burlington, Vermont.
No shit.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's a cool town, huh?
Right. It's also an adventure town, right?
It is.
Absolutely. And so now they're coming for their next adventure thing. And weird enough, they would end up leaving to go to the next adventure spot. Boulder. So it does happen. Yeah, Boulder. Fucking two went to Vietnam.
Jackson. Yeah, Vietnam.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, we lost two to Vietnam like a couple of years ago in a month. And they didn't even know each other. Well, they knew each other, but it wasn't like they were following each other. I was just like, okay, it's really weird news. Vietnam, sniping Mazama employees. All right. But I think you'd be pretty surprised if you're trying to connect with them and figure out what they want, because if you just assume money, a lot of times it's not. So you just be like, hey, just take them out to lunch. It's an hour and a half, being like, what do you want? This job.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
And be like, really talk to them. One of them be like, hey, I've just gotten this relationship, so I'm just looking for a little more time.
And that's, I think a lot of them are. Yeah, it's been. There's not a lot of roots right now here. They're not even sure how long they're going
to
be here.
No, but maybe they want to do something different within work. Maybe they're looking to get more of in a design area. Maybe they're looking to negotiate different contracts. Maybe they really like an idea in sales. Like, hey, maybe that'll take off. And just because you're there and you took them to lunch and you have only six people. It'd take you a fucking week to do this.
Yeah.
Take a week. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, my schedule would take a fucking year.
But. No. You make time for it. Do a breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yeah.
Make time for it. Meet with them.
Yeah.
You'll shit. I've been doing it every time I shit. I'm like, oh my God.
I didn't know.
And now stuff gets lined up. You'll love it.
Yeah. That's a great idea. We're actively seeking somebody right now. I'm traveling a bunch over to Asia. You know, I'm spending 3 months a year over there.
3 months a year?
Yeah.
When are you going next?
Soon. Maybe. It depends, actually. We're trying to hire somebody right now.
To replace you in Asia?
No. Here. I'm not an office guy. It's not my strength.
Neither am I.
Yeah, so
I'm running around. I do a lot of business on the ski lift.
Do you? Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a video of me, and like, this is the equipment you need to like answer emails efficiently, and the Bluetooth headset.
I need to be doing that. I'm not. I'm in the office, but I shouldn't be.
I just work a bit later, right?
Yeah.
So I'll ski from like 9 till noon, but then I'll be working from noon to 8. Yeah. But I'm also working while I'm on the ski lift, too. Like, you know, that's 5 minutes of emails, talking to them,
little Instagram,
whatever we're doing. I run my own, cut my whole fucking business. I'd grab my phone if I knew where it was. It's over there. I run on this thing. A lot of my time, I'm actually running around the office on my phone, and I'm like, screw you, laptop, you're too big. And I'm talking, it's pretty cool.
It's crazy, man.
You do the same thing, you have to if you're in Asia.
100% do. Yeah. And you know, I don't get over in Asia, I don't always get the perfect reception, and I'm off the grid for a while. I go to these really remote areas, and so I go searching. I'm seeking out all these new sources of the nuts, and I'm way out there, and there's not a lot going on.
So you have six people. It's been something,
and they're not all full time.
Yeah,
we got
shipping
people. We got some graphic arts people. Right. We got,
but you started it basically from
zero.
From 10 pounds you brought over.
Yeah,
in your bag. From the Philippines.
Yeah.
And what I'm getting is you found an opportunity and you're like, people are going to like these.
That was it. Totally. These taste great. And I remember asking people, like, do you think people would buy these? And I didn't know anything about business, man. And I'm still learning. And I didn't know if people would buy them. And I asked a few people just to try to get some confirmation. Like, come on. Yeah, I think for sure. And that was it, man. Like, I'm going to make this, and like you said, just jump into it. Our Peely butter we made in this expedition butter that we launched, we first were just selling, you know, Peely butter. We made it in the commercial kitchen here in Bend. I made it personally with a little food processor, a hair straightener, no shit, a hair straightener, and some little bags.
You had a hair straightener
to seal the bag, and that's, I did them all one by one right out here at the commercial kitchen. One by one. Thousands of them.
Where's the commercial kitchen?
Right on Revere. Prep commercial kitchen.
So in Bend off Revere, the commercial kitchen, that's the place where you can just go?
You pay hourly to go use the facility, right? Uh-huh. So they're...
Yeah. How much do you pay an hour?
It's gone up. It's maybe 20 bucks an hour now.
And 20 bucks, that's still fucking, you don't have to have all the shit. It's
so
all there.
You got an idea.
And then, and I'm guessing it's then you're then cleared by the FDA and everything.
Totally. Oregon. So you got an idea. I want to sell
people think it mangoes. Costs so much money to do this food shit. It doesn't.
It costs effort.
Yeah. That's exactly what it fucking costs.
So I would sit there we did that, and then we did jars, little 4 ounce jars, and I bought at the dollar store these little pouring things, and we ground it up, and we would scoop it out in one jar, two jar, and then we'd screw it up and put a label on it, and that's how it started, man.
How about time? Like, how long did it take you to get like the first bag sold from when you brought them over from the Philippines to you got your first dollar?
It's pretty quick.
How long?
I don't even remember, man. It's a couple weeks after I made the sticker and put it on there, and it was, you know, I made the nutrition label.
What do you think about people who like plan on it for like years?
I'm sort of,
because they're out there.
I kind of have I kind of have mixed emotions about it, because it's like, man, I had a lot of hard lesson, I'm still like that. I want to, let's do peeling nut butter. Cool. That's what we did. We went down there.
You make decisions fast.
Go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some
people. If you screw it up, I'm sure you've had a product like, let's make this and it didn't sell. Okay. Now we know it doesn't sell.
We move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's try it. Let's throw it out there. Mm-hmm. Man, we made CBD peeling nut butter.
How'd that go?
It was great. I put it up on PayPal or on Shopify. And people bought them all. And I was like, holy shit. And then the next day, Shopify and PayPal
said no.
Hit me up if you ever do this. And you're cut off for life.
Wow.
And I was like, holy, I didn't even think about it. I just threw it up. We put a red CBD sticker on the jar. We met this guy from Eugene. It's got a CBD farm. It was like, you know, organic, badass CBD, third registered farm in the state. Or whatever it was. Anyway, but measured it out, put some in there. There it was. There was our CBD. And we're going to do it again now that things have changed.
When?
I don't know. Maybe next week. Maybe this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we love that. We got to push that.
Like, yeah. It's great, man. People love it. We just, my only issue is.
We got to have an influencer campaign behind that, though. We can.
For sure.
We can get in that. Because that's the loop around.
Yeah.
You can't push on Facebook or Instagram on ads on that, but you can pay people on Instagram
to talk about
it. Yeah. You just be like, here you go. Take pictures with it.
Yeah.
We'll give you $50. And they'll be like, dope. And then people buy it because they saw they had it.
Totally.
And they had the link. And then if you want to give them an affiliate marketing thing where they get a percentage, you can either do for
you. We can talk about that.
We can detail on it, but you totally blow that up.
Well, and you know, the thing is.
But that's the way to do it.
We got to have some sort of other landing page as well as
a different high-risk process
merchant. Yeah, that takes 5 or 10%, which is all right. You know, we just.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you could sell out of them really quick, why does it matter, right?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, people. And then it was like, oh, shit. And we had a bunch left. And it was like, we had a few left. And people really wanted them. And I was like, man, should I sell them to them? Am I going to lose my whole company by selling a couple of these things?
What did you do?
Sold them to them. But, you know, am I going to lose my company over a $15?
No, probably not.
I hope not. But
all right, we could totally get a landing page. Yeah, we could talk about that in detail. But landing page up, influencer, get people influencer marketing behind
it. I got an amazing influencer. I was just telling Morgan, one of your workers, that we got this really badass video coming out this weekend. It's with a really good influencer. I'm a really smart guy, really well spoken, and great following, and really loves the product. We contacted him, this is always great. We contacted him and. Been trying to contact the guy for a year, and then just so happens his assistant was out, so there was nobody fielding his email, so he was on the email at the time.
Right.
And he writes back, oh yeah, I just bought your shit on Amazon. I buy it all the time. And I'm like, I've been trying to contact you for a year, man. And anyway, so he's going to do this badass video that's coming out this week.
Who is it?
The guy's name is Thomas DeLauer. He's really, really sharp, really, really big in the keto, paleo. He's super fit, a cool guy on top of it.
So what I know you're on keto. So basically, peely nuts. I've had them; they're amazing. You have all sorts of flavors that are really delicious. It's just the texture on them, and I love salt. So the salty ones, and the Himalayan salts is my favorite.
Yeah.
But anyway,
badass for vegans, by the way.
Oh yeah,
you're getting lots of saturated fat because you're not getting it from animal sources, right? So it's great to get it from.
Yeah. I love his nuts and the good and I'm also a big mountaineer adventurer. So we just start working. I just got my hands on them, and I'll be. I should have brought some to get Patagonia, damn it. But
you should have taken some pictures for me down there.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'll be doing a lot of stuff up here. And I'll be taking some pictures for you. But anyway,
we got some going to Everest right now. So I got a summit shot of Hunters on Everest last season, and now told these guys I'd give my firstborn if they get a summit shot of the expedition butter on Everest. So hopefully we get some of those shots.
No, they'll do it.
Yeah.
But it's huge with keto.
Huge. Yeah. And that really, so we introduced this to the keto community right after we launched this. I went to Paleo FX.
Well, it makes the most sense. I mean, as far as basically when you start selling on e-commerce, the main thing you want to do, people are like, oh, we're going to market on Facebook. And you can easily say everyone would like these, except people who have allergies to them. But if you like food, you'll like these nuts, which is a true statement, right?
Yeah.
Besides a certain random allergy, that is true. Everybody will like them.
90%
of right. people. Maybe a couple of people will say no, but as far as like taking a demographic and being like, people who are that just eat meat aren't gonna like these. Well, first of all, those don't exist. But you get what I'm saying. Everybody's gonna like them. So you can easily just be like, we're going to target America.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
With our ad budget. And it's just like, okay, so unless you have more money than God, you'll be lucky if you hit everybody in America on Facebook once. Very lucky. But it takes 8 to 15 times to just make an impression and make them do something.
Totally.
So you got to pick a crowd. So you guys, let's go after keto.
Well, yeah. So it was Paleo FX. It's a big paleo show in Austin, Texas. A lot of fun. That really kicked off my company. I went down there and showed up with a freaking sign and some peely nuts, and everybody there was decked out with these badass booths, and literally I was there like no shit with a sign, and and it was like holy shit, but people loved it.
So you went,
I was the weakest one, hands down the weakest booth at that place. I had a sign and some nuts on the table. I looked like shit. It's pretty funny when I look back at it.
Yeah, but a lot of people get intimidated from that shit too. They're like, if I'm gonna go to a trade show, I need to have fucking like TVs and like massage chairs and freaking a bar.
You
a
do full when bar. You're, when you're a $20 million company.
Yeah, but what if you're not? Then they think, well, I shouldn't go.
You should go.
But of course.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with getting knocked out. There's something wrong with not getting in the ring.
Oh, that's a great quote.
Yeah. We all get
is that a Jason out. Original quote?
I don't know, like that man. One. I used to love boxing, you know, and yeah, so you can, man, we all get knocked out here and there. But if you don't ever step in the ring, you ain't going to get knocked out, but you're also not going to win either.
With a sign and a booth, maybe a tablecloth, maybe not.
Maybe not. I wish I could. Dude, I'll find some old pictures. No shit. I just started my Instagram. I just got a smartphone. My sister showed me how to post a picture on Instagram. And I was there and I had like 100 people on my Instagram. And I remember these people were coming up to me that are now, they're pretty big influencers. Or they got food companies of their own. And there was one girl that came up to me with her husband and they're like Beachbody, big,
really
hot shit with the Beachbody community. Right. And they're like, watch this, give me your phone. And she came over to me and her husband filmed it, or somebody else came by and filmed me and her husband and her. And they're like, you guys got to try these. This guy's cool and whatever, right?
Right.
And these things are awesome. Holy shit. And I'm just watching. I'm with her, you know, like smiling. And, you know, within 4 hours, I had 500 followers on Instagram. And I was like, holy shit. This is crazy. And then I was stuck way off in the corner. And I was like calling people back to come try my product and come try these. And I still do. Michelle, who's one of the founders of PaleoFX, really loved the product. And somebody didn't show up for a booth or got sick in the main event area where people paid a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, come on, I'm taking you over here. And she took me, put me in the main area. So then I was like really just sitting there with a sign surrounded by all these big booths, but people were rocking it, man.
It's because you stepped into the ring.
People were like, fucking, this is awesome. Holy shit. And then got on some podcasts because of that, and that's how we introduced it to the keto community. It was a guy named Jimmy Moore. He's really big in the keto. He knew about him, and we did a podcast together. And I was like, when I got back after that, you know, there was like 30 orders on my webpage. I had this newly created webpage. That same guy Jeff created made me a webpage for $150.
The guy who made the sticker?
Yeah. That was $150 or something. It was cool.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, if you go, you can go back in time on the computer, it'll pull up your old webpage.
Oh, really?
I forgot the name of the URL, but you can go back and find your old webpage.
Huh.
Somehow they
just take timestamps probably of it.
Something.
That's why nothing's deleted.
Pretty cool. Yeah. When you go, I went back and looked at it and I was like, holy shit, this is actually an
evolution
cool.
of it. Make it be a good post.
We did a post, evolution of our bags, that plastic mm-hmm. one to another one. To this last one.
That might be a good one. Like, how many iterations of your bags have you gone through?
Oh, man. Well, we've had four years.
Well, ballpark of how many iterations?
Oh, fuck, man. So you got to remember,
this is why I ask. A lot of people get caught up on the bag's got to be perfect the first time.
No, just get it out there.
Exactly.
Get it out there. I mean, make it as cool as you can, obviously.
Right. But get it out there. You all of a sudden are just focusing on, like, I think people think it's going to be their only bag.
Yeah, no shit. You're gonna go through so many bags. And, you know, I created.
Do you have a ballpark, like 10, 20?
Well, there's three main ones,
right?
But
the iterations, though, of them.
Oh shit! So I made the nutrition label.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big FDA problem. Importing shit into the U.S. when they're like send you letters. Like, you cannot say that. Like, fuck, I don't know. Like, I made up the fucking text on the back.
Uh-huh.
Like, and I didn't know you can't say certain things unless mm-hmm. it's a percentage of this and that, right? It's all very strict. So, if I could do it all over again, I'd buy a sticker company. Because I've stickered 100,000 bags. Personally, like, fixing mistakes mm-hmm. that I made or... Shit, we had a graphic artist that stuck up... a UPC from we don't even know where onto 40,000 bags. I drop it off at a store and they're like, this won't scan. Like, but the last one scanned. Why won't this one scan? So we're literally in the midst of stickering 40,000 fucking barcodes.
Jesus.
Shit like that. I mean, yeah. I've gone through everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I...
But for people
total
that,
changes, many, many...
Yeah.
Dozens.
Yeah, people get caught up on that and then... they get caught up on names a lot before they start things.
Yeah.
When it's just like, nobody knew what the fuck Google was, but when they came up with that.
No.
And you just make the name big.
Nike, anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's true. It's true.
Like Facebook, like just from the Google thing, Facebook is like, it's a face on a book.
Yeah,
like, how the fuck is that supposed to mean social network? But you just end up learning. Like it catches
they
on.
They taught and you what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like, I know a lot of entrepreneurs or wantrepreneurs who don't take the first step forward because they're caught up on naming.
Just
like, what the fuck is the name?
Dude,
this really matters. I've been thinking for a while. It's just like, just call it Joe's Stuff. It doesn't matter. Like, get it out there.
Yeah.
Like
and
what you
I've
said.
I've got a product right now that we're launching and we're fucking trying to figure out.
Just call it Joe's Stuff.
Jason's
Stuff.
Yeah. Anyway.
Last question for you.
Yeah.
So if... right now, if you were to take your 45-year-old brain and drop it into you when you're 18, what do you think would be the first thing? How would you look at the world? What do you think you would do? Your brain right now in an 18-year-old Jason body.
So I never until I was just this business. I did short-term stints of trying to make money,
mm-hmm.
working construction in the Arctic for $50 an hour, slaving away 12 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, working concrete, being a fisherman, doing all this stuff for like short gigs to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And it never brought me happiness. Like the chasing that money.
Gigs to make money. The chasing money never brought you happiness.
Yeah. So
I believe that fucking much.
The first 40 years of my life really.
Chasing money?
No. Not chasing money. Like I do little stints to keep the dream going, traveling, climbing. And I really like guiding. I didn't make any fucking money. You know, kite surfing, instructing. I didn't make any money. But you know, I'm kicking back on the beach,
mm-hmm.
guiding. I was in the mountains. I loved it.
Sure.
And I didn't have to answer to anybody. It's a real natural life, man, and unharnessed kind of life. And never. And then I found myself 40 years old, driving an '89 pickup truck. And like, well, yeah, I need some money here. Like, if I want to have a family, I need some money. Mm-hmm. That's basically, so if I could do it all over again, the only thing, if I went back in time, it'd be maybe make a little bit more money. And I got to do some amazing stuff at the end of the day. I can't complain. So mm-hmm. It's been really, really...
Yeah, no, I'm not saying on the regrets. It's just like,
no, but like,
can you imagine how powerful you'd be if you had that, your brain all of a sudden when you're 18?
But I'm torn.
Like, you'd probably take over the world.
Maybe, but I'm torn. I'm torn because I don't know. Maybe it was okay.
I think it is okay.
I sit there and I go, well, fuck me. I'm so happy I didn't spend my youth in some fucking office trying to fucking please somebody or make money. And I would do that, never in an office, but I would do that for a construction job for 2 months, mm-hmm. enough to save up so I could go fuck off some more and then go climb in and out. You know, so I would guide probably 6 months out of the year, climb 4 months out of the year, work a little side job, 2 months out of the year. So yeah, I'm torn. Like, you know, I could have some money and some stability. I don't think
you should be torn, man. If you live a fucking fun life of climbing Denali all the time and Rainier and all that stuff, like, that's, to me, that's awesome.
I got to go to a lot of countries all over the world. Yeah. I got to see a lot. And I'm torn. The business for me?
And maybe you don't do anything. 45-year-old goes in the 18-year-old body, and you know what? We're going to do this all over again.
Maybe.
You know what? Let's buckle up. I like that answer. Let's buckle up and do it all over again. That was dope.
You know what I might? Yeah. You know what I might do a little differently?
What?
Not carry so much weight, so my back's not so tweaked. And
there you go.
Yeah, that's about it. But man, I've had a good ride. I've been really, really lucky in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, like, now you are coming into a monetary success. But I think you had lived a successful life. Yeah.
This was luck, too. I fell into this.
It's because you decided to do something. And I think that has a lot to be said on the fact that you were a mountaineer guide. And so since I do that, I haven't been a mountaineer guide, but I've been a whitewater guide. And I understand, like, you just need to make decisions. Yeah. You can't just be sitting, like, when I'm, like, guiding with a bunch of people going down the river and I'm responsible for them. I'm like, well, should I go left or should I go right? We should get out. We should start jotting shit down. We're going right.
Right now, everybody. Yeah. And maybe it was the wrong decision, maybe, but you're going right.
Sometimes a boat flipped, but you know, most of the time it didn't. You have to make the decision right then and there.
Yeah.
And then when I'm mountaineering with, typically I'm the leader when we're climbing the Oregon volcanoes is mostly what I do. And when I am, you know, I'm placing anchors and I'm deciding that this is heavy enough to rappel down, stuff like that. And there's also things like when you do have time to kind of think of some decisions, but a lot of times you don't. Like if you climb Mount Hood, for example, you got to beat the sunrise. Yep. Otherwise, the rocks, they start tumbling down the pearly gates, right?
Yeah.
And I've been in an instance when that did start happening because we were taking too long because this guy's equipment was falling apart and I was saying, oh, it's okay, we'll wait for you. I should have been like, no, sorry, we got to go.
We
were in a kind of a sketchy situation once. But anyway, what I'm getting to is from like needing to make decisions that at least that minute at most, or at least that hour, sometimes as quick as that minute. This is the first time I thought about this, but I don't see why not that wouldn't help you as an entrepreneur. And you come in and you're like, you know what? We're going to put a fucking sticker on this and see if it works.
That's basically it. And I keep taking that into every new product I do. Like, fuck it. Let's try.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as we don't put a huge amount of resources into it, we're probably going to be okay. Right? Yeah. So if it doesn't work, it's then not you know the end
it
of the
doesn't
world.
No. Well, if it doesn't work, then you learn from it. You know why it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know not to do it again. You typically end up learning like different side lessons from the. It's like, well, this happened. The video was like this, and that's why people didn't really end up watching. We only had a 10% watch rate. There's all sorts of stuff you can learn as to why something failed, so you don't do it again. All these small little lessons.
Absolutely.
But if you don't do it at all, then what lessons do you get?
Jesus, you got to. Yeah.
You had nothing.
There's a famous Roosevelt quote. It goes something like, essentially, it's easy to be a spectator. It's the man in the ring that deserves the respect.
Right.
He feels the winning, the losing, the pain, and all of the above.
As he should.
And what is that famous quote? Anyway.
But also, the fun thing, like, when you were going through and I was asking a question, I just kind of saw you thinking about, like, failures that you've had. And, like, what?
And back. There's been a lot, man.
Of course. Man. There's been a lot in my young life, too. The thing is what does success feel like if there's nothing to compare it to?
you got to have highs. You got to be down in the valley before you can enjoy the summit, and
right.
vice versa. You got to be cold on the summit to enjoy the beach.
Right.
Yeah, that's just life, man.
Like, I went to lunch with a team member today, Chelsea. She's new, and we got into a bit of a conversation about life like this. And interesting thing she said to me, talking about this failure thing, was if somebody made a movie and the whole time they were just success after success and everything's going great,
yep.
you wouldn't watch that movie. That movie would fucking suck.
Hey, man, this leads me into a great... There's no fucking story there.
No.
If I'd started this... And God damn it, now, and I may be totally different than the rest of the world, but man... And I want to say this to some people that are trying to knock me off, and there's all kinds of stuff. That listen, people love a Rocky story, man. People mm-hmm. love a comeback story.
They do.
And, you know, I feel like I'm definitely... This is bootstrapped, man. Like, mm-hmm. ultra. You can ask my employees. You know, I built everything in that office, or took it out of a dumpster, and I stained it.
Really?
It. Yeah, yeah.
You got to get some pictures. Can you send me some pictures of that?
Jesus, dude.
Or I can come by and take some pictures. Something, so, because it'd be fun. We could splice that in as we're talking.
But, man, fuck, you got to... There's got to be... There's got to be a story behind this. There's no story to me. Hey, I found this.
Just having a successful company.
I went to fucking the Bay Area after I found, yeah. and this is not what happened, obviously, but I went to the Bay Area and I found a fucking VC and he gave me $10 million.
Lived happily ever after.
Gave me 20 million yeah. bucks and then we just blew the fucking thing up. Yeah. And that's not what happened. And I may get pushed out of this business because I have bootstrapped in, there's big companies moving in and whatever it is. But, man, goddamn, there's a real story here, mm-hmm. and I always think to myself, and this may be fucking arrogant, whatever, but if they wrote a book about your life, would anybody fucking read it?
Right.
Yeah, and like, there's no story to that. That like, yeah, I started this. I got a fucking $10 million. You know, I got a $1,000 desk and started this with $20 million. So what?
And like, you've also learned a lot of things when it comes to making decisions quickly. And how that can lead to success very fast if you do that. So let's just say that you do get pushed out and something ends up happening where the business just goes under for many different reasons. Now you have an opportunity to go into another field that probably Jesus. You've been thinking about, and you can do it, and then you remember the stuff that you had before, and there's a success story.
I hope
okay,
so.
Whatever. Peely yeah. Hunters falls apart, which it's not going to. Let's just say it does. That doesn't mean the world's over.
No.
It doesn't mean you'd be depressed. No. Like, all right, I learned all this stuff. Let's go kick ass in this sector.
But, you know,
we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. But I'm saying it's no reason to get depressed and like, oh, my life's over. It's like, no you're just getting started.
You just move and you learn from it.
Yeah.
But, man, it's nobody likes to. You're
no,
an entrepreneur. We don't like to fucking lose. And I'm competitive, just like we
I'm
are.
I'm not saying go lose. I'm just saying don't die if it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Just there's gonna be another round. There's gonna be another fight.
It's the classic, you know, better loved than lost and mm-hmm. never loved at all. And it's sort of the same with this, what we're saying here. Like mm-hmm. it's better to get in the ring, get knocked out, than it is to
not step in the ring at all.
Mostly. Doesn't mean you gotta jump in with Tyson on your first fight.
No, typically not. But you did at that expo, man. You had all those things, and it's just you and look what happened.
And
I would say that would be Tyson's.
Yeah, and we're going back to that one in a couple weeks actually.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just do send a shot from there, and then let's do a shot from this one.
Yeah.
See a difference there. Evolution in 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it's been a pleasure having
you. Awesome, man.
Really.
Yeah. We got to do it again.
Yeah, let's do it.